We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
One of the largest migrations of people in modern times has been the displacement of Iraqis, the result of the Iraq War, now 8 years long. Some refugees and people displaced within Iraq have returned, but for those who remain without a home, their circumstances are often dire. Imagine living in a tent for years, or living underground because you have an expired visa. Most refugees cannot work legally, and their savings have been exhausted. The UN Human Rights Commission has registered almost 200,000 refugees, mainly in Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon. It estimates there are 1.3 million Iraqis who are internally displaced. Kim Schultz traveled to Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan in 2009 to interview refugees about their experiences. When she returned to the U.S., she wrote a play, No Place Called Home. An actress, Schultz is currently on tour with the one-woman play. She narrates and gives voice to some of the people she met during her trip. No Place Called Home will be performed this evening at the University of Illinois, and Kim Schultz is my guest. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So how was it that you made your trip to Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon?
There is an NGO based in New York and a non-governmental organization which sponsored 8 artists of different disciplines to travel in 2009 to Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. I was one of those artists, as was my musician for the show, Michaela Gaston, and 6 others. And we traveled and met with Iraqi refugees living in Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria and heard their stories. And the idea of Intersections was the organization Intersections was to hear their stories and then bring artists along to hear their stories so that we would create art that would hopefully make people hear, because this is a crisis that affects 4 million people, 4 million displaced Iraqi persons, and it's barely on the radar in America. And so the idea is, how can we make people care? And one way that we can do that is through art, that art can touch people and make people feel things. And so the result of that trip for me was the play called No Place Called Home. And we had the New York run last fall, and now we're on tour.
What did you see on your trip back in 2009?
What did I see? I had a pretty life-changing event. It has changed my life, witnessing and being present with these Iraqis. I heard amazingly horrific stories of people who witnessed their brother's murder, of kidnappings, of killings, of this chaos that has happened to Iraq since the invasion in 2003. And, you know, this was a middle class country. This is a very secular country and a very middle class country. So they were in a lot of ways just like us. They were doctors and they were lawyers and middle class professionals who had to flee because suddenly their neighborhood is no longer safe, because suddenly their husband was threatened because he worked for the U.S. or because, you know, fill in the blank, whatever religious reason that was going on at the time. So then a lot of people had to flee, and Iraq is still not in a place where it's safe for people to return. The numbers have not been impressive with Iraqis returning, and the international community has not done a whole lot. The host countries have actually been amazing in terms of Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. They've been pretty amazing for the influx of these millions of people into their countries. But the international community has not embraced this as a whole, which is the point of what the play is also trying to do, is to bring awareness to this issue.
Yeah, as I mentioned in my introduction, most refugees cannot work legally,
right.
And their savings 8 years.
Oh yeah,
long have had to have been depleted.
Right. So many of them had money, but they had to leave their house, and so in the middle of the night often, and so they couldn't sell their house. So that's a big, you know, loss. And then they can take whatever savings they can, but 8 years later, as you mentioned, it's depleted. So they get money from family and friends, but then people who aren't able to work back in Iraq, they run out of money, and family runs out of money. So now you've got a real crisis with people who used to have money and be able to support themselves, who now are unable to work in their host countries. because several of the countries were not signatories on the act that allows people to refugees to work, and so they're not allowed to make any kind of living. So their children are often on the streets trying to, you know, sell cigarettes or candies, trying to make some money. There's a major problem with these children not being educated right now because they can't afford school, or they're the sole breadwinners for the family because the adults aren't allowed to work. It's a real mess right now.
Yeah,
well, that's devastating.
I know that Deborah Amos has done some reporting
yes.
on this,
mm-hmm.
and some people have turned to the sex trade.
Yep. There is. I wouldn't say that our experience was that was rather prolific, but there is certainly mm-hmm. there is certainly that, and it's, you know, it's devastating. There's also families who are marrying off 12-year-old children because they can't afford to feed them, and there's lots of women have had to turn to prostitution. So.
And people have had their educations
stopped,
yeah. interrupted.
A lot now. I mean, Syria has actually, for all the hoo-ha in Syria and for our own relation with Syria and the problems they're in, they've been actually really great to a lot of the refugees. They don't allow them to work, but they are allowing the children to go to school. And they've allowed UNHCR to set up and to help the refugees. So... But Syria has the most refugees. They have over a million still, is what most reports say.
Tell us a little bit about how the play works.
So the play, my goal in writing it, I didn't know how the play was going to shape itself out. And I ended up meeting an Iraqi and falling in love with an Iraqi named Omar. And it was obviously accidental, and I kept trying to, when I came back, I was writing about him, and then I was trying to write the play, and I couldn't write the play. Like, I just wasn't able to make the play make sense in my head. And I was writing, you know, gads about this love story. And it dawned on me at one point that the love story is the play. And as soon as I started to allow myself to let the love story be the access into the rest of the refugee story, then it made sense. And so that's the intent of the play, is that it is a love story between an American and an Iraqi. And we start with one Iraqi, with Omar, and then it opens up with me kind of as your narrator, tour guide, into the rest of the experience. So the people in the audience have the same, well, similar experience to what I had when I was traveling for that month in the Middle East. And the idea is that I'm humanizing and individualizing these people so that it's not like 4 million, oh, that's awful, what can I do? But here's one, or here's two, or here's 10, or here's 12, and here's some things you can do, and here are their stories, which once we understand and see people as humans, then we tend to care more.
And what kind of feeling do you get from audiences?
We've had great reactions. The audiences have mostly been, oh, I had no idea, which is why I need to keep doing the show. And what can I do? You know, and I was so moved by this, and I had no idea that there was this many people who, because of our invasion of this country, you know, that their country has fallen into such chaos. I think the most powerful reactions for me come from the Iraqis that are in the audience. And when the Iraqis come up to me and hug me and say shukran, thank you, in Arabic, or say you spoke our voices, and I don't know how you did this when you're not Iraqi, or, you know, I've had Iraqis come up to me and say, are you Iraqi? I'm like, I'm not Iraqi. And that means the most, because my goal in telling the story is so important to me, is to honor their voices and to make sure that what I'm saying is their story and is their voice, because right now they are voiceless. It's actually an invisible crisis, it's termed, because no one sees or hears it. So what I'm trying to do is voice their stories so that they are heard.
Kim, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Kim Schultz is the playwright and actress of No Place Called Home, a play about Iraq war refugees. A performance of No Place Called Home is set for this evening, Friday, October 14th at 7 p.m. in the auditorium of the University of Illinois Music Building at 1114 West Nevada Street.
On the streets trying to, you know, sell cigarettes or candies, trying to make some money. There's a major problem with these children not being educated right now because they can't afford school, or they're the sole breadwinners for the family because the adults aren't allowed to work. It's a real mess right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
that's devastating.
I know that Deborah Amos has done some reporting
yes.
on this,
mm-hmm.
and some people have turned to the sex trade.
Yep. There is, We would not. I wouldn't say that our experience was that that was rather prolific, but there is certainly that, and it's it's devastating. There's also families who are marrying off 12-year-old children because they can't afford to feed them, and there's lots of women have had to turn to prostitution. So,
and people have had their educations
stopped,
yeah, interrupted.
A lot now. I mean, Syria has actually for all the hoo-ha in Syria and for our own relation with Syria and the problems therein, they've been actually really great to a lot of the refugees. They don't allow them to work, but they are allowing the children to go to school, and they've allowed UNHCR to set up and to help the refugees. So, but Syria has the most refugees. They have over a million still, is what most reports say.
Tell us a little bit about how the play works.
So the play... my goal in writing it, I was kind of, I didn't know how the play was going to shape itself out. And I ended up meeting an Iraqi and falling in love with an Iraqi named Omar. And it was obviously accidental. And I kept trying to, when I came back, I was writing about him, and then I was trying to write the play. And I couldn't write the play. Like, I just wasn't able to make the play make sense in my head. And I was writing, gads about this love story. And it dawned on me at one point that the love story is the play. And as soon as I started to allow myself to let the love story be the access into the rest of the refugee story, then it made sense. And so that's the intent of the play, is that it is a love story between an American and an Iraqi. And we start with one Iraqi, with Omar. And then it opens up with me kind of as your narrator, tour guide into the rest of the experience. So the people in the audience have the same, similar experience to what I had when I was traveling for that month in the Middle East. And the idea is that I'm humanizing and individualizing these people so that it's not like 4 million, oh, that's awful, what can I do? But here's one, or here's two, or here's 10, or here's 12, and here's some things you can do, and here are their stories, which once we understand and see people as humans, then we tend to care more.
And what kind of feeling do you get from audiences?
We've had great reactions. The audiences have mostly been, oh, I had no idea, which is why I need to keep doing the show. And what can I do? And I was so moved by this, and I had no idea that there was this many people who, because of our invasion of this country, that their country has fallen into such chaos. I think the most powerful reactions for me come from the Iraqis that are in the audience. And when the Iraqis come up to me and hug me and say shukran, thank you, in Arabic, or say you spoke our voices, and I don't know how you did this when you're not Iraqi, or I've had Iraqis come up to me and say, are you Iraqi? I'm like, I'm not Iraqi. And that means the most, because my goal in telling the story is so important to me, is to honor their voices and to make sure that what I'm saying is their story and is their voice, because right now they are voiceless. It's actually an invisible crisis, it's termed, because no one sees or hears it. So what I'm trying to do is voice their stories so that they are heard.
Kim, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Kim Schultz is the playwright and actress of No Place Called Home, a play about Iraq war refugees. A performance of No Place Called Home is set for this evening, Friday, October 14th at 7 p.m. in the auditorium of the University of Illinois Music Building at 1114 West Nevada Street.